Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Mistakes. We all make them. And they can result in any number of things. Sometimes our mistakes turn out funny, embarrassing, and sometimes not so funny. A Chicago law firm sent a big bouquet of flowers to an associate in Boston upon the opening of its brand new spiffy law offices. But at the last minute, there was a mistake, a mix-up. The ribbon that bedecked that big floral piece read, "With deepest sympathy." When the florist got an angry call from the folks who had originally ordered the flowers, he let out a cry of alarm. "Good heavens," he exclaimed. "Then the flowers that went to the funeral home said, 'Congratulations on your new location.'" Mistakes can be that way, or fatal. I recall reading a newspaper article, it's been 30 years ago now, about a nurse in Chicago, big city hospital, reached for a bottle of medication, thinking she had the drug that the attending physician, the surgeon, had prescribed. She gave what was in that bottle to the patient, who very soon became violently ill with respiratory paralysis and died. In the investigation that followed, the nurse testified that a drug harmful to the patient had been placed into a bottle that was exactly the same size, color, and it was harmful to the patient. She simply had not bothered to read the label. After all, it was the same color, same size, same side of the cabinet, same but not. A fatal mistake. Mistaken notions about what you believe can be just as dangerous and fatal. Innocent as certain teachings seem to be on the surface of things, they can nonetheless destroy a person's soul unless, of course, those teachings are prescribed by the Lord himself. The words of that Lord in the gospel reading for today are a warning about making certain that you've got the right prescription for righteousness, namely God's prescription. "For I tell you," said Jesus, "unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." He was speaking those words to his disciples and was pointing out to them that their own righteousness, their own holiness wasn't all they thought it was, at least not in God's eyes. In fact, there would be absolutely no entry into heaven for them unless their righteousness went over and above that of the really, really, really good guys, the scribes and the Pharisees. You got to be better than good. You got to be better than even the best. And the scribes and Pharisees were at the top of their game. We dare not diss these folks. They would have made good neighbors. So outwardly good and right and proper, pillars of morality and right living, deeply, deeply sincere in their piety, very charitable. Wish they were here for offerings some days. Always in church they were, prayed a lot, a whole lot more than the vast majority of folks around them. And frankly, the scribes and Pharisees were not a little disgusted with most people around them because they just were not as good, as obedient, as fine-toothed, strict, and righteous as they were. Today, Jesus says this, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." What the world could Jesus want? Get real. Better than best? How much higher than high can you get than with the high and righteous living of those scribes and Pharisees? But to Jesus, their prescription for righteousness was a tragic, fatal mistake. The law that they were trying so meticulously to obey had been drained by them of its real potency. In fact, They played with the law of God as if it were some kind of little toy poodle. But Jesus unleashes a Doberman with fangs. He goes on to expound God's law on his own authority over and against their mistaken notion of what God demands and condemns. And get this now, it wasn't just a matter of doing and saying the right stuff. It wasn't just about picking up a little medicine bottle that looked right on the outside of things while ignoring what was really inside the bottle. Jesus gets at the real potency of God's law. He gets to the real heart of the matter. And that's finally what is the matter with the scribes and the Pharisees and all the rest of us. It's our hearts. It's what's inside the bottle, inside our hearts, inside the life that tries desperately to hide in the bushes of good things we do for God and nice things we say. By the way, later on in this chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus actually picks out several of the Ten Commandments, God's law. He exposes the mistaken thinking of those scribes and Pharisees and anyone else who thinks that they can remodel what God says to kind of fit their own tune, their own self-righteous hearts. Take the fifth commandment, for example, says Jesus. It's about human life. Do not murder. And of course, scribes and Pharisees weren't about to murder, but Jesus reminds people that God's law goes a whole lot deeper than just the outward, outright murder. Life, he says, can be threatened. Now get this. Life can be threatened by another person's angry thoughts or hateful, sneering words. Hatred against another human being is already murder, whether people see it that way or not. Makes no difference in God's eyes. He sets the bar for righteousness, for holiness. It's either his way or the highway. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You can't get around that. You can't rewrite the law of God to fit your own mistaken notions about standing before the holy and righteous God of heaven and earth. Like the scribes and the Pharisees, we all try to do that, to rewrite, remodel the law of God to fit neatly, to suit ourselves. But the word of Jesus for today is sharp and clear-cutting. God's law is more than the letter. It is also, and most importantly, spirit. God demands that both the letter and the spirit of his law be kept perfectly. No changes, no alterations, no rewrites to suit our PC thinking. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So straight up, how's your righteousness been lately? Don't have to go far back. Take just this week. Over the course of your 16 or 30 or 70 years of life, have you been better than even the best? Have you been holy, absolutely, in thought, in word, in action, holy? Well, wait a minute. Whoa. I'm better than most. That won't cut it with God. He knows your heart. Well, God really doesn't mean what he says, not as sharp and cutting and absolute. And anyway, it is 2020, and all that can't possibly apply to where we are at and all that we know today. It is 20. Well, you can tell yourself anything you want. You can live with the mistaken notion that the cyanide bottle has only sugar water in it. But if you drink it, you can live with the mistaken idea that of yourself and your own ability, you can really stand righteous before Almighty God. But if you die believing that, so you are left with this question. If those good, moral, righteous, Pharisee-type folks aren't getting into heaven, then who the world is? If they come up short on righteousness before God, well, Well, who's got it? That's precisely the question Jesus wants you asking. Who could ever surpass the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? Jesus could. Jesus did. If you want righteousness before God that grants you eternal life in heaven, it sure has got to come from somewhere and someone else other than yourself. It'll have to come from the one who is totally righteous, holy in thought and word and deed and heart, someone whose very motivation and attitude was patterned after God's own heart, seeking and walking in God's will. That someone is Jesus. Do not think, he says, I've come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And he does. Jesus does what we have not nor cannot do. He fulfills God's word to the last little dot. And his doing that is for you. St. Paul, a former Pharisee, wrote in Philippians 3 that he desired to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but having that righteousness which comes through faith in Christ. It was Jesus, the one who knew no sin, that God the Father made to be just that for us, so that in him, in Jesus, we might be the righteousness of God before him. In his suffering and death on the cross, Jesus drank to the last drop the bottle of our poison, that he might give to us the water of life. In the word of forgiveness that Almighty God speaks to you through sinful lips like mine, in the promise fulfilled water of your holy baptism, in the body and blood, bread and wine of his holy supper, the Lord gives you the right medicine, the saving prescription. For I tell you, says Jesus, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Don't worry. It does. Your righteousness exceeds. It surpasses. Because it comes from Jesus, the holy and righteous Son of God. His is the righteousness that really and always counts. You don't have to worry about any fatal mistake here, because this is all God's prescription, his prescription for you, for your life and your salvation. And, well, should some florist make a similar mistake someday for your funeral bouquet, where the words read, congratulations on your new location, don't worry, those words are really quite apropos for you. Congratulations are indeed in order. No mistake on that delivery. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Having heard